1, and we're going to read verse 1 through 20. It's good to hear those pages turning instead of that little. That's not bad, but it's just nice to hear the pages. God say, dear. Let's pray before we get started. Father, I love you and I thank you for this opportunity, God. I pray that you would just remove self and speak through me, dear God. Just allow me to only say and do things that would be pleasing to you, that I would be clear in my speech, and you would be honored and glorified. We love you and we thank you for this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 2, verses 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made it widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorified and praising God for all things that had been heard and seen as was told to them. Yes, so if I could title today's sermon, it would be hope in Christ. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking about how we know that God had a plan, that we had sinned in had the sin nature, and there had to be something that could bridge that gap that would bring us to Him. Because without that, we didn't have hope. We didn't have a chance. We were lost, and as we know, with the other covenants, that we weren't able to keep them. It was always going back and forth, back and forth. We were never able to keep them. But on that day, in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, that was the beginning of that new covenant. That was the beginning of us being able to, getting ready to, where we'd be able to go before God on our own. We would be able to have that personal relationship with Him that would make us where we could not have to worry anymore. We could have that hope. And I want to go next to Timothy. I was looking at through the scripture and was trying to find some other scriptures that it talked about about hope, and found several of them, and I just chose actually three. But 1 Timothy 1:1 said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is that 2 Timothy. Let me go back. Paul, the apostle of Jesus, by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Here, Paul refers to Christ as our hope. Okay? Then 1 John 3:1-3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Here, it's talking about how He's going to be revealed to us. And when God reveals Himself to us, we become aware of who we are. We become aware of our lostness. We quit seeing ourselves as I'm as good as so-and-so. We quit comparing ourselves to other people. And all of a sudden, we see ourselves as sinners. We see ourselves as we have sinned against God. We see ourselves truly for the first time as who we are. And when we do that, it becomes real. And then whenever you realize your need for a Savior, and you realize that there is hope. There is hope. One of the best things in the Bible that talks about hope, I think about the prodigal son and the father. And I think about the hope that he had. And I think about how he stood, and every afternoon and during the day, he would watch for that prodigal son. That son that he knew was out living in sin and doing things that wasn't what he used to do. He wasn't living that lifestyle that he should live. And the father had hope. He stood there and he watched. It even talks about whenever he came back, said the father looked and he saw him in a distance. And he began to get excited. And he told him, he said, go kill the fatted cow. So I believe that he had that fatted cow ready. He had it waiting. And he had the robes and the rings, had it ready, because he knew that he had hope. He knew that his son was going to come back. He just had that hope. And the son came back, and we know, and he said, Father, I've sinned against you, and he repented, and he was restored back to the family. And I think about that, and I heard someone was talking this past week. I'm looking to see if they're here. I don't believe so. But was talking about a young man named Eric. And when Eric was born, his mother began to pray for him. And she prayed for his salvation. Well, as he was growing up, he would tell them, they would say, talk about being a new creation in Christ. And he'd say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Don't come to me with that new creation stuff. Well, at age 56, Eric came to know Christ. And now Eric tells you that he's a new creation. He sees that new creation. But thank God that his mother and his family had hope. They had hope that Eric would someday come to him. And like I said, as I was preparing it, and this was more for me, I think, than for anybody else. Because sometimes our hope gets weak, and we forget. We pray for people. We pray for our family members. And sometimes we get weary. We wonder if God's going to save them, if he's going to bring them back. And, you know, our heart gets heavy. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up. Probably everybody in here has somebody on their mind right now that they're hoping and praying is going to come to Christ or come back to Christ. So don't give up hope. On the next slide, I've got a little thing up here that says, what do you hope for? And we got a little bit of time left, and I thought I'd do something a little different because you know I'm a little different. And I just thought I'd give this as an opportunity because we're family. We should be able to open up and share with our family our prayer needs and our desires, and sometimes pride holds us back from that. And I just wanted to ask you, what do you hope for today? What do you hope for? Maybe you don't have any hope. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're, as they say, you're hopeless. And the good news is you can have hope. You can have hope. If God's speaking to you and he's making you aware that you have sinned against him, or that you're not walking with him where you once did, or where you need to be, if there's these little secret sins that are in your life that nobody knows about but you and God, you know, you can still have hope. You can do that. But I just want to give you an opportunity. If anybody's got anything they would like to let us know that you need hope, that you need help praying for, that I just give you that opportunity to do that now. Let's take a chance and let's just pray for Mary Beth. You do that, TC? Somebody else.
I have hope for a friend that our family's been praying for, that he will probably even soon come to the Lord and receive him into his life.
A sister whose name is Nancy, and I have a praise and a prayer request. She has prayed for her son and daughter to come to know the Lord. And she prayed and prayed and prayed for Steve and Patty. Well, just a few years ago, and he's in his 50s, Steve came to know the Lord. Praise the Lord. And she said, Patty hasn't, but I'm not giving up hope. I'm not giving up hope. And Patty is anti. And she's just mixed up and confused. And so that's a prayer request for Patty. And thank you.
I said, I hope, have hope that's been experienced this morning, because now all of my family walk with the Lord. And my grandson Stephen was many years when he didn't think that there was anything to it, that was too good to be true. And he found out that it wasn't too good to be true, and now he knows the Lord. And also all of my family, except for one brother, walk with the Lord, and now I have him on my hope list, and pray for him every day, and someday he's going to come back like the prodigal son did and come to know Jesus.
I said, I have a whole family, my nephew, his wife, and they're triplets, and they're lost. They need salvation. Their name are Walter Stigall.
I have hope that soon Herman Baptist will find its pastor and his leadership staff. I also have reason to give praise because God rescued our son from near death, put him back into a bit of health. I have hope and pray that God will restore him to useful health. And I also have another one that's even bigger than that, that his wife will come to know Christ as her Savior.
I have a hope for a grandson who's in the hospital right now. He's 21, and he has heart problems. The doctors think he has a hole in his lung, and all of those things seem to be happening to him right after he steals something or does something to someone that he's angry at. So I'm still hoping and praying that he comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior.
I give praise that 50, 60 years ago, my mother had hope for her son, my brother, that he would find the Lord. He raised a family of 5 children, all of them as unbelievers. My mother kept praying, even after her death. At this the rest of our family, after Mother died, we took up the prayer chain. And do you know, on this day, my brother, his family, every single one of those 5 children know the Lord. My mother did not give up. I thank, and I have hope now for a granddaughter and her husband, and beautiful children, beautiful family, that they will find the joy and the peace that we have in the Savior. I don't understand why the world rejects such a beautiful offer. We are children of God. What a beautiful thing.
My son-in-law in Alaska is not a believer.
His wife is Christy, our youngest, and she's very faithful in attending church and takes the children, and he strangely insists that the children go to church. He doesn't go, but we've been praying for him for 10 years, and when Leon died, his oldest daughter said, "So Dennis, where do you stand with the Lord?" And I thought, ooh, wow, she was very courageous to ask him that. And he said, "I'm a work in progress." So Pastor Donnie reminded me of something as we were planning Leon's funeral. I said, "You know, he doesn't know the Lord." And Pastor Donnie said, "Now you need to thank the Lord for the day when Dennis becomes a believer." So I'm doing that, trying to be patient while this work in progress is completed. One of my niggling fears in all of this is that Dennis, in his 40s, is diabetic and in denial about it, does not take care of himself well, and so forth. And so my prayer is that it will be soon that he will know the Lord.
All right. That's so encouraging to hear the stories of the faithfulness of God. We know that God is faithful. We know that he has a plan. And to get a fatted cow ready. Get ready. And don't give up hope. Don't give up praying. Continue to seek God daily. And knowing that he's going to answer. Because that's his will. He wants us all to come to him and to love him and honor him. If our leaders team would come on, I just want you to remember that when Jesus came, he came for you and me. That was his purpose. He didn't come so that a book can be written. He came for us. He came for us. He came to give us hope. So again, if you're here and you don't have that hope, then you can have that hope.